Good morning, everybody. This is Randy Christman. It is about 10:01 on Wednesday, March 29th. This is a regular scheduled meeting of the North Dakota Public Service Commission, and I call the meeting to order. For opening comments, I just want to welcome our new commissioner, Brian Crosius, who came on board last Monday, just over a week ago, and as staff knows, has been very busy around here for the last however many days it is, meeting with staff, meeting with some other folks that have interests at the commission coming in and visiting with them and getting up to speed on cases where we are, and immediately ended up in a siting case up in Watford City that we had on Monday. So has really hit the ground running. It's not like coming on board on January 1st and there's maybe somewhat of a little holiday lull or something like that. You've really been thrown in the deep water right away and off to a great start here, and I certainly want to welcome you aboard.
Thank you.
Commissioner Fedorcha?
Well, good morning, and I would like to echo Commissioner Christman's welcoming comments for Brian. It's great to have Brian on board to be at full strength. I like to relate us to hockey team now. PSC at full strength, we like that. Brian is going to be a great addition to the commission. He has a really ready to handle all the financial issues that we deal with in terms of regulating the utilities, and brings that business perspective for the citizens that he's going to be representing that I think is invaluable here. And I really appreciate the tone he's already set and the approach that he has been making on some of the issues and the different perspectives that he's added to our conversations already. So it's great to have you, Brian. You're going to be a real solid addition to our team, and I think that we're going to get along quite well and be very productive for the citizens that we're all serving. So thank you and welcome. Secondly, I just wanted to mention a new project that I'm supporting. This has kind of been a big week, a milestone for the Dakota Access Project, with now news that there's oil in the pipeline in another segment, this segment underneath the river. It's not fully operational yet, but they're moving towards that end. And after, you know, the last 6 months of delays, I think that's a significant step forward. And as a it also provides an opportunity to look back on what's happened and how things have evolved, and I think find ways to improve on what's happened. And so I'm really pleased that I was at a meeting last week for MISO out in Louisiana, and was asked by a fellow who's a former commissioner who now does a lot of consulting to participate in sort of a national conversation on infrastructure development and what can be done to improve the development of infrastructure in the country, really recognizing a protest like Dakota Access and the impacts that it has for the whole country in terms of infrastructure development, and also recognizing the importance of developing infrastructure in a sensible way. We all depend on this infrastructure every single day. We cannot live without it. It is an integral part of our economy and our health and safety. And so we have to have this infrastructure. It's good for the environment. It makes a lot of sense to replace old infrastructure with new modern infrastructure like the Dakota Access. So we have to have a sensible way moving forward. The regular process, the traditional way, we followed that in the Dakota Access, and we got a different result because there's folks out there who are advocating strongly against this stuff and using tools and tactics that we haven't seen before. And so that demands that those of us in these positions look at what needs to change on our end. And I think, you know, I've looked through our process, and I think we did a lot of things right. We had open meetings. We publicized them widely. We made them easily accessible. We scrutinized the application from beginning to end, from all possible angles. We listened. We listened to everybody who showed up, and we took their input into account. We made changes whenever possible, and we ensured that all the requirements under the law were met. So I think all those things in our process we did well. Where I think there's a lot of room for improvement is on the communication side of things. Once the protest started unfolding, our agencies within state government and within the state and federal government, and even combining with company, we didn't work hard enough to get good information and make it easily accessible to the citizens. And that has to change. We have to have the tools in place to get the facts out there. I'm not saying we need to be advertising or being big advocates, but the simple facts were missing and hard to find for the reporters out there and the people who really wanted to know the facts. And then we also didn't use social media. I think that, you know, as government and officials, we're sort of scared of social media and don't know the proper way to interact on social media, because sometimes the decorum on social media isn't what we want to associate ourselves with. But that's just kind of too bad for us. We have to figure it out. We have to figure out a way to communicate through the venues where the people are. And they definitely were on social media here. And that's where a lot of the misinformation was spread and took hold and really became the facts nationwide. So we have to figure out a way to avoid that down the line and to be better about how we communicate. So I'm really pleased to be participating in this conversation. It's early on in the process. It'll be unfolding over the next 6 to 12 months, and hopefully will result in some best practices moving forward that can be used to further advise and make improvements on these processes, not only in North Dakota, but in other states as well.
Commissioner Karajas.
Well, good morning. I'd also like to echo, just in return, I look Mike's forward to working.
Okay, we'll start over again. Okay. Well, good morning. I'd just like to echo some of the same thoughts in terms of being able to work with both Randy and Julie. They have been fantastic so far. And to say that I feel like I've hit the ground running, and I don't know if I'm running or they're pulling me along or how the balance works, but it's been an incredibly busy time so far. And I've learned a lot. I know I have an incredible amount to continue to learn, because it's a complex agency. There are many different areas that the agency covers, and to just dive right in is fantastic, but also I need to build a base of knowledge moving forward. I was really appreciative, to say the least, that Governor Burgum appointed me to the position. It was one of those telephone calls that you get, and you don't know what the outcome is going to be right at first, but it was favorable. And I couldn't have been more excited not only to get the call, but to come in and work with both Randy and Julie, but the entire staff has been absolutely wonderful. And they are incredibly helpful. They have brought what I would say just key bits of information. It's more than bits of information. They've brought to light things that I need to know to be effective right away. And I'm incredibly appreciative of the staff, a fantastic staff here, and I look forward to being a part of it.
Okay, thank you. Our consent calendar contains the minutes of the previous meeting and two other items. I move approval of the consent calendar.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? Since none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Okay, and then RC1, I move the commission adopt the order on eligible telecommunications carrier designation, Mid-Continent Communications, designated eligible carrier, application case number PU-17-50.
Second.
On January 30th of this year, Mid-Continent Communications filed an application to be designated as an eligible telecommunications carrier. Hereafter, I'll refer to that as ETC, for the purpose of receiving federal universal service support for low-income consumers. Mid-Continent proposes to provide this service in any exchange where it is currently authorized or may become authorized in North Dakota. On February 16th, the Commission issued a notice of opportunity for hearing, providing until March 28th for comments and requests for hearing. No comments or requests for hearing were received. A telecommunications carrier is eligible to receive federal support if the company meets the requirements established in federal law. Both federal law and state law give this Commission the authority to designate a common carrier as an ETC. In areas served by a rural telephone company, the Commission must find that ETC designation is in the public interest. Mid-Continent is a common carrier and will offer the services and functionalities using its own facilities. Mid-Continent proposes to provide the 9 supported telecommunications services being provided by the incumbent local exchange carrier. Subscribers would be able to access additional advanced services. It is in the public interest that Mid-Continent be designated as an ETC in the service area requested, which is the additional new area is Cooperstown, North Dakota. And based on the evidence in this proceeding, Mid-Continent is qualified for designation as an ETC and eligible to receive federal universal service support.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
RC2, I move the commission adopt an order in case number GE-17-101, granting the request of Jayco Commodities, LLC of Maurice, Iowa, to operate as a roving grain buyer in North Dakota.
Second.
Jayco Commodities projects its annual grain purchase volume in North Dakota will be 50,000 bushels and filed the required $50,000 surety bond. They notified the commission they have not transacted business as a roving grain buyer in the state. They would like to begin doing business in North Dakota and ask that its license application be approved as soon as possible. Statutory compliance has been met, and staff recommends a roving grain buyer license be issued.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
And lastly, RC3, I move the commission adopt an order in case number GE-17-107, canceling warehouse license number 1290 issued to Allied Energy Incorporated, doing business as Allied Grain at Ypsilanti, North Dakota. And ordering the business at Ypsilanti is discontinued.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? Since none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Oh.
No comments on Ypsilanti?
Yeah, I didn't explain the case. We moved too fast. But so I'll just open this up for comments just so that it's on the record, a little information about the company here. On March 9th, we received a request to discontinue business from Allied Energy for its grain warehouse at Ypsilanti. Allied Grain notified the commission they did not renew their lease effective January 31st, and business is no longer conducted at that facility. The warehouse is empty and there are no outstanding storage obligations, so staff recommends the request be approved. I hope I didn't talk anyone out of their affirmative vote. I will just point out Ypsilanti is about 5 miles north of Montpelier, which everyone knows where that's at, and about 10 miles southeast of Jamestown. And many people think that Ypsilanti is the only Ypsilanti in the nation. But they would be wrong. About 1,000 miles east, there is another Ypsilanti that many of you maybe never heard of, and that's Ypsilanti, Michigan.
Is that where the groundhog shows himself every day, every spring?
No, that's in Pennsylvania.
Is that Ypsilanti?
No, Puxatani.
Puxatani.
Ypsilanti, Michigan, by the way, is a town that in the early 70s, and I don't know why I would know this. When marijuana was a huge crime, they lowered their penalty to $5, and someone got busted with like 100 pounds, and it became a huge national deal, and the courts ruled that they couldn't enforce that as a $5 penalty. They had to follow state laws.
One of the many things I wonder why you know.
And if no one asks to reconsider the motion since we already voted on it, I think we can just move on. That concludes my portfolio.
And you have one more motion.
No, we're not. We're not. That's not quite ready for prime time yet.
We're withdrawing it. or holding it over, whatever the proper term is.
Yeah, so does it take a motion to hold that over?
No, it just needs to be stated.
Okay, so RC4 will be held over till
the next
at some other, either the next regular scheduled meeting or a special meeting. Okay. And I don't believe there's anything in any other portfolio either today. I think we have like a record short meeting here today. So, there are a couple of announcements. It's going so fast, I wasn't quite prepared. One that we've made multiple times because it's been on the schedule for a long time. We have a formal hearing on its schedule for April 10th through 12th, however long into that time frame it goes. It'll be from 8:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. each day for case number PU-16-666 for Montana Dakota Utilities Company and their electric rate increase. And then on May 19th, we have a formal hearing, case number PU-17-48 for Aero Field Services, LLC. That's a natural gas liquids pipeline project up in McKenzie County. That hearing will be at Teddy's Residential Suites in Watford City. And I haven't gone through that case yet, so I don't really know anything to explain about it other than where it's at and when. But I believe that that is going to be a case that will be held before a substantive ALJ. And that's all I would have as far as announcements. So we'll stand in recess and take some questions from the press.
What is there such a thing as a non-substantive ALJ?
Administrative.
The substantive ALJ would go up and do the hearing and gather the information and write a recommended order. And the administrative one, we would attend as well, and we would craft our order. And the administrative one kind of runs the hearing so we can concentrate on the information we're hearing.
I did want to get your comments. It appears that the Senate committee has put the rail inspector position back in.
Yes, that was some, you know, conversations back and forth. It was a request that Randy made in our conversations with the Senate, and they were strongly supportive of that program in the last session and have really listened to the work that's been done in the program, some of the good service that's been provided and the reviews that are being done of the system, and I think they feel that it's a reasonable request to make that person a full-time position and added that back in. So we're really pleased about that and hope that the House concurs.
And that's basically a special fund thing, too.
It is a special fund. The rail safety program is funded by diesel fuel tax paid by the railroads, and so it doesn't come out of the general fund, and the program requires less than $600,000 for the biennium to provide two full-time inspectors who are out there at our direction every day on behalf of the citizens of North Dakota, working to make sure that the system is safe as possible and to hold the railroads accountable for it, the highest possible standards.
And that special fund money goes directly from the tax department to us. It goes to the Department of Transportation for a rail safety program, and the leadership of the DOT has also been supportive of this as a rail safety program.
Mm-hmm. Thinking about, and my memory might be a little faulty this morning, but I think the last time MDU had a rate increase request before you, it settled before you got to the formal hearing. Would it be prudent or imprudent to infer the fact that the hearing is still going on that no settlement's been reached?
I'm not aware of any settlement at this point. We haven't been notified that there's a settlement. I would assume that there's some negotiations going on, but we're moving ahead, assuming that we'll have the hearing and go through the full process, and we're preparing for that and are, you know, I expect that we'll go through the hearing process and come up with a decision ourselves. And if a settlement comes in, we'll consider that.
And I think it's important to emphasize, as you know, though, that a settlement would only be official when we approve it. And so regardless of if or at what, if there is anything going on or what stage it would be, there has not been a settlement officially reached because it hasn't come to this commission yet.
Well, the reason I asked the question is I remember that the formal hearings were canceled the last time.
Talking about electric or gas?
Wasn't that electric? I thought it was.
Well, we haven't had an MDU rate case since in the last 4 years. So
I think it's
prior to that. Xcel, we went through the last electric rate case that we've seen was Xcel, and we did go through the full hearing process. And then after that, it was settled. So there's all these different stages that the settlement can occur. And, you know, just because there isn't a settlement at this point doesn't mean that they couldn't go through the hearing, see where the big, you know, points of contention are, and then really work to try to come to terms on those issues and then provide a settlement for us to consider. And then, like Randy said, it might not be something that we even want, and we can reject the settlement and move through with a decision on our own. But I would carefully consider any settlement because obviously the parties, there's interveners involved and there's the advocacy staff looking out for the broader interests of the public as a whole and the company itself. So if all those parties come forward with a decision that they think addresses the key issues, it's something I would carefully look at.
Working with people kind of bringing awareness and communication with everything that kind of went on with Dakota Access. I mean, I guess since nothing like this has really ever happened here in the state, I guess if you could just, you're basically just saying you kind of want to just make sure if anything like this, hopefully it doesn't happen again, just so every party knows on like the energy transfer partner side what they're doing, that sort of thing.
That's right, Alyssa. In my conversations with other commissioners in other states, so Minnesota is seeing a lot of protest action in their PSC processes as a result, you know, since the Dakota Access protesters left North Dakota. So they're settling in other areas, and they're still hard at work. And Iowa is seeing them. So in conversations with other commissioners and other folks in the industry nationwide, I think there's recognition that this is part of the new normal. And so how do we effectively hold our processes, you know, maintain a close focus on the requirements of the law, have some order and have resolution, and not allow things to get tied up indefinitely in a protest movement that isn't grounded in fact. And I think those are some of the key issues that everyone is struggling with and figuring out, you know, how can we do it better and to make sure that there's a sensible way forward for energy-related infrastructure.
And then I guess you guys are going to, the portfolios are going to be announced later. That's correct, yes. Trying to make sure Commissioner Crashus has opportunity to look over how the portfolios are divided now. And I think every time that we have revisited them in these last few years that Commissioner Fedorchak and I have been here, you know, sometimes there's been alterations where you combine two things into one or divide something into two or things like that. And so we just kind of keep reinventing ourselves, and that's part of what I think has made this commission among state agencies, I feel, among the leaders in continuing to be on top of things and being innovative, and this is one example of it. So just making sure we get it right. Okay, we will stand in recess for about 10 minutes and then come back for the administrative portion of the meeting.
Okay.